What do you know about interest rates?
I don't know that much about it.
It's like when you borrow money from a bank, the percentage of what you borrowed is to be returned.
It's when you borrow money, for example, and you need to pay it back with interest, meaning pay for that loan with time and it gets a greater amount, I guess. That's the best I could do.
Unless you're a high roller and really care about investments, you might have totally ignored the finance pages in Canada's interest rates for the past decade. Now you got to stop that. The Bank of Canada has hiked rates another quarter point as of yesterday to 1.5%.
Governing Council believes that higher interest rates will be needed to keep inflation on target, and that's consistent with our actions today.
It's the fourth time in the past 12 months they've bumped it, so it's getting serious. The last hike was in January, and until yesterday, the bank had kept the rate stable, citing uncertainty in trade policy as a reason for caution. So why the hike now? And big picture, what does it say about Canada's economy? And for real, even though I know it's cliche, what does this mean for your wallet? Whether you're in the housing market, carrying debt, or paying off student loans. A lot of us don't really like to think about this stuff, but what if not thinking about it is costing us money? It's July 12th. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story.
I think people are being forced now to learn more about it. I don't think when rates were low, they cared that much, but now they're being forced to care.
Brian Borzakowski is a business and personal finance journalist who writes for everyone from the New York Times to the Globe and Mail to Canadian Business and soon a monthly column in Money Sense. What's our level of general literacy on interest rates and how they impact us when you talk to people?
It's not good. It's bad. It's bad across the board on anything related to finance. And interest rates are a difficult thing to understand. I mean, when I started writing about this stuff, I didn't know anything. I mean, I didn't even know what a mutual fund was when I started writing about business. I faked it for a few months until I started figuring it out. And I've been interviewing people about interest rates and inflation and stock prices, you know, for now years. And even still, it's can be confusing.
There is a whole part of this generation that's now entering the housing market and other financial markets that has been too young to care about interest rates for almost the entire time they've been this low. So how did they get here?
After the recession, the world economy was in such chaos and growth was slowing down and we were in this crazy recession that central banks around the world had to cut rates in order to stimulate growth. So essentially, if you have low rates, almost zero, Canada got down to 0.25%, that encourages borrowing because it's cheap to borrow money when rates are low. So you go out and you buy that house for a much lower rate. Your monthly payments are really low. Or you spend money on your line of credit, buying that new car or buying, you know, something else and paying back a low amount every month. So that is the purpose, to stimulate the economy. It also encourages businesses to invest because they could borrow money at a lower rate. So the hope was that they would, you know, and hire employees and invest in their own business. And that was the reason why we saw rates go low for so long. And the economy just didn't really pick up for a long time. And rates remained low really for years. I mean, Canada did increase its rates in 2010. So it dropped it to 0.25. It actually did get back up to 1%. But then it had to drop it again in 2015 to 0.5%, because our economy started falling apart. Oil prices fell by quite a bit. And we saw job losses. And the Bank of Canada wanted to stimulate our economy again, and that's why it's low, and that's kind of where we're growing this base off of from those 2015 lows.
So the original interest rate drop happens sort of in 2009 after the recession. And through these last 9 years, it's been really easy to borrow, easier to buy a house. What's that done to Canadians? Are we carrying a lot of debt? Did we really take advantage of that?
We did, more than businesses. I mean, we talk about, you hear about every month, you know, new data comes out saying our debt to income ratios are high. We owe so much. Look at housing prices. There's a reason why housing prices in Toronto, Vancouver, and elsewhere have shot up over the last 5 years, by crazy amounts, when in the previous 5 years or 10 years, they didn't. That's because it was so much easier to borrow. Like, personally, I bought my first house in 2006, was paying my mortgage payments. When I bought my second house in 2011, and that was when rates were already really low, I was paying the same price on my monthly mortgage for a house that was essentially double the price and double the size. And so people just, I mean, that makes it easy to buy a bigger house. And so we are indebted. And that is the big issue here with raising rates too, is what happens with housing prices? Can we afford higher mortgage rates? Because rates are tied into the interest rates, the overnight rates. And so it has impacted us. We have borrowed. And if you look at the economic data over the last several years, consumer spending has been up. I mean, we've really carried the economy while other sectors haven't. Manufacturing hasn't picked up the way it was supposed to. When the dollar started falling more, we haven't seen, you know, the oil patch. It took a big hit in 2015. It's thanks to us that the economy is doing well. And can that continue? That's the big question.
So the Canadian economy really came out of the depths by ordinary people borrowing and spending. And those people have taken on a lot of debt at low interest rates. What happens to them now that we've raised the interest rates four times in a year? And how much higher could that get?
So here is the challenge. And this is partly why the Bank of Canada, I think, maybe has been very hesitant to raise rates, although four rate rises in a year isn't that, you know, they're not holding back here. But the issue for consumers is that can they service the debt that they have? And the big thing is really around mortgages. So variable rate mortgages, you know, that I took one out in 2011 because rates were so low. I got my mortgage down to 0.95%, which is crazy to think about.
Okay, first explain the difference between a variable rate mortgage and a fixed rate, just for the record.
Yes. Okay. So variable rate mortgages move when interest rates rise and they're tied into the overnight rate. So if the overnight rate goes up, the variable rate mortgage goes up. Now it's not, you know, my interest rate is not necessarily 1% higher. It can vary, but it will go up. Fixed rates, which are also related to the interest rates, but you buy, you get a 5-year fixed rate, you get a 5% rate or a 3% rate, and that stays your entire 5 years. So you lock in certainty into what you're paying, but it's often a bit higher than what you can get from the variable rates. But over a term, that variable rate could end up higher than the fixed rate if rates keep rising. So if someone's going to renew their rate now, and a lot of houses, you know, experts are saying that a lot of renewals are coming up in 2019 and 2020, you're going to have to lock in at a higher rate. So the rate that you got 5 years ago is not what you're going to get, whether it's variable or fixed. So you're going to be paying more. And can you service that debt? You've bought this expensive house now that's worth $1 million or something like that. Can you make those payments? That is the concern. The Bank of Canada said that in their statement. You know, they're watching that. Will people be able to make those payments? People generally do pay off their mortgage before they do other things, so that people may cut back in other places. But carrying costs are going to be higher. If you have a line of credit, that will go up too. Credit card rates aren't impacted. They're set by the credit card company, but the lines of credit will go up. So all of that could rise. I mean, there's one other thing. There's one benefit from all this, is that savings rates are supposed to rise too. So it's been really difficult for Canadians to save money in a high interest savings account. When rates have fallen, you're basically getting nothing on your money. And that's been really bad for retirement savings. And it's impacted a lot of Canadians who, you know, might want to put their money in something safe, like a money market fund, or even bond funds have been low because of rates. In theory, savings rates are supposed to rise when interest rates rise, when the overnight rate rises, and they don't really match up. Like, banks don't really want to give you that extra money. So they kind of hold back for a while. But in theory, it should rise, and it will over time, but it's not going to happen as immediately as your debt's going to go up. So you're going to pay more than what you're getting, at least for a while.
And don't most of us have more debt than savings anyway?
That's true. We don't save enough. But what's interesting is that high interest savings accounts have become one of the most popular savings vehicles over the last few years. Even though rates are so low, it's sort of one of the maybe unexplained things, perhaps because people are just nervous about investing. So they're putting their money in a savings account. And so the banks have even less incentive because it's a popular product. So if people are buying it at the low rates or using it at the low rates, why would they pay you more to keep your money in their bank account?
Right.
But it's true. We do have more debt than we save, a lot of us, and we got to worry about paying that down first.
This is obviously going to raise the price of a mortgage. And it feels like another barrier to a housing market that's already pretty inaccessible for a ton of people in the big cities in this country. Weren't governments trying not that long ago to make it easier for people to get into the market?
Going to build more affordable housing. The federal government's investing over $11 billion. And we're going to work with cities to create a stability there.
How do you balance the need to raise interest rates with the fact that, you know, a house is probably even further away from a lot of young couples or young people in Canada?
That has been kind of the question on everybody's minds for a long time here. You're right. I mean, the government actually wanted to make mortgages really accessible. I took, you know, when I bought my first house in 2006, I could have taken out a 40-year mortgage. I took out 35. You can't get those anymore. And now they're putting on mortgage, you know, different rules. They're making it harder for you to obtain a mortgage. You have to meet these stress tests that are more difficult. Prices are high. Interest rates are making it more difficult too, because your payments are going to have to be higher. What's going to have to happen, and I think what people are waiting to see, is whether interest rates are going to impact prices. Now, if prices fall, then it will be easier for people to qualify for a mortgage and pay those monthly payments. The Bank of Canada, interestingly, said in its statement that prices have softened. But they don't know why. Could it be because of the new mortgage rules? Is it because of interest rates rising? Because these two things are happening at the same time, they're not able to sort of determine exactly the culprit of a slowing housing market. For me, I've been waiting to see this. Like, you know, a few years ago, I would say, well, let's wait and see what happens when interest rates rise. I think prices are going to fall because it's going to be harder to take out a mortgage. If I had to buy my second house at the same interest rate as I bought my first, I would have had to look for a lower priced house. I mean, that's a fact. It's dollars and cents. So I think that there will be some struggle for a while for homeowners until this, or new homeowners or potential homeowners, for this to play itself out. But I think prices are going to have to fall. I mean, that's just a fact. And if they do, then people will be able to get in, but they're going to have to wait till that happens. And it may not happen overnight. I mean, it could take a while before prices kind of fall to a level where people can get in.
I, by the way, locked in a new 5-year fixed rate in March, just for the record.
Interesting. I still have my variable rates. I'm not locking in yet. And in fact, my mortgage is coming up for renewal, I think in 2019. And I'm still not 100% sure what to do, because I do wonder where the Bank of Canada will go from here, how slow they might raise rates. I got to think about this more, and we'll see what the economy is like in 2019. But I feel like maybe that initial boost of rates has kind of happened, and maybe we'll see an even slower progression. And if we do see a slower progression of rises, then maybe variable actually could still be good. So I have to kind of weigh the difference between fixed and variable, but I'm not ready to jump to fixed just yet.
See, you talked about people being nervous earlier. I just didn't want to worry about it.
Exactly. I mean, that is the benefit of the fixed rate. And I mean, I sort of, you know, read about this stuff and write about this stuff. So when I took a variable rate out a few years ago, I knew what was happening. I knew that the rate would fall. And that's why I did it. And it was one of the, you know, best decisions I've made. But
now you're just bragging.
Yeah, sorry. it's less clear now to me. And that certainty is worth something. To lock in and have that certainty of payments for those 5 years, I think is worth locking in for that peace of mind.
Thanks for joining us, Brian.
Thank you.
That was The Big Story. You can visit us at thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can follow us on social media at Big Story Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. And you can subscribe, rate us, review us, tell your friends, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.